Okay, we're on.
Okay. Hey, wow, it's been a long time.
It sure have. This is our 50th episode.
49th, I thought.
No, last episode was 49th.
Oh, you're right. Well, wow, we should perhaps have been a little bit more prepared. So, hold on. Welcome to Must... Oh, come on.
Sorry.
Got a screeching cat 2 seconds in.
I apologize.
No, you don't. Welcome to Mustard Mayonnaise. I am Matt.
I am Richard.
And we discuss things in the entertainment industry that capture our interest. Movies, DVD, TV, video games, computers.
Etc.
Yes. And apparently this is our 50th episode.
Mm.
I thought we were still one off. But so perhaps we should have been a little bit more prepared from the anniversary perspective.
Anniversary.
Whatever. It's just a number. And we've missed 2 weeks because I've been trying to sell my house and get it ready to sell, and that is an insane amount of work.
Yeah, and I had my cat shut 2 weeks ago. I don't think I would have been. I was so okay. Beat up 2 weeks ago. So it was last week was the house sale thing, but we're back in black.
And man, I need someone to buy my house. So I'm friggin' exhausted. I have had very little time. Yesterday was the first time that we did something non-house related in our non-work time.
What'd
my
you
wife
do?
And I. So we went to see Spider-Man 3.
Oh, you finally got around to seeing it?
Yeah, like 3 or 4 weeks after it opened.
Yeah.
And I've been sending you emails. Still haven't seen Spider-Man 3.
Yeah.
I'm kind of proud of that. And now
I was all hyped to see it the day after my cat show. I was thinking, this is the day I'm going to work my butt off, and then I have finally, for the first day in a month, I'm going to go do something for me, and I was going to go see a matinee of Spider-Man. And it turned out I was A, so broke I couldn't even afford a matinee ticket, and B, so exhausted that I couldn't move. And I never did see it, so what'd you think of it? Oh, that's a hell of a sigh.
That's probably the that sums it all up right there. You know, it didn't suck, but it was, A, it was way too long. It's like 2.5 hours, or I don't remember the exact running time. But it's too long, it's too boring, it's just too, I mean, and it's all sort of part and parcel, it's not, it's too unengaging, it's a little too, you know, formulaic, like, oh, look, there's two bad guys, and it's like every film has to have two bad guys.
Did it look like the most expensive movie ever made?
No. It looked good, it didn't look bad.
No, I mean, in terms of bad or good, did it look like... Wow, they clearly have spent more on this than any other movie in history.
No.
Huh.
You know, it's... And part of it's... You know, they've got this one character, the Sandman, who's played by Thomas Hayden Church, and he's basically sand.
Mm-hmm.
So, and that looked okay, but, the, you know, Spider-Man swinging around looked better than certainly the first one, but there's still parts of it that look a little too plasticky. Like, the light reflection just isn't quite right. And again, looks fantastic, but not quite enough that it's, you know, it's doesn't quite look real. You know, and the stuff with Venom, which is the black suit, looked okay. And, you know, but...
Prior to the movie coming out, Howard Stern went to see it, and he's such a huge comic book fan. He got so excited for this movie, he gave it 10 out of 4 stars. And he was getting angry at people who liked it but didn't think it was better than the first two because it was clearly, in his mind, the very best of the series. It is so great. That's when he elevated it from 4 stars to 10 out of 4 stars and forbid anybody from disagreeing
That's
with
funny.
Him.
Well, I'm watching it and I'm thinking, I don't need to own this DVD.
Really?
I mean, maybe I'll change my mind when it comes out, but I was like, I feel no desire to see. At some point, I'll see it again. I mean, hell, I've seen MI2 more than once, but
yeah,
I just.
It's a good point. I haven't bought a DVD in 2 months, but I generally that would absolutely be something I'd buy. But then again, I think that's a good point.
I just thought it was. I mean, overall, just boring.
Hmm.
I mean, there were some interesting character themes. Which I thought were handled pretty well in terms of how he approaches revenge and forgiveness and doing some character growth in that vein. And I thought actually that worked very well.
Huh.
But not enough to save it. Or, I mean, save it, like I said, it didn't suck. It was just, eh. And then to me, I'm sitting there and I'm watching it and I'm thinking, you know, they spent $100 million on marketing, which is, I think that's the number, somewhere around there. And it's like, why? I mean, it's they basically, it was an onslaught. You could not escape seeing the advertising for Spider-Man 3, and there's got to be a point where it's counterproductive, because in my it worked against me. It was like, yes, I'll see your damn movie, but I don't feel the urge to see it first weekend. You know, I'll see it when I'm ready, and you know, so I think that advertising onslaught worked. You know, it made me not like the film going into it. It made me have vastly lower expectations because I was irritated at it. And then you start thinking, $100 million on marketing a movie, people are probably going to see anyway. To my mind, you don't need to have an onslaught for Spider-Man 3. It's a very popular series. People want to see it. How much work do you need to do to convince them to see it?
I'm sure every marketing person there would disagree with you, but I don't. I think you're onto something.
I mean, clearly you need to market stuff. I understand that. You need to advertise it, but I'm really interested to see the research which backs up the need to spend $100 million.
Yeah.
Who are you going after? Teenagers are going to see it. I'm going to see it. You're going to see it.
You know, and it's funny, I missed pretty much all of that marketing. You'd think in nowadays, with it being so targeted, and I'm on the net so much, I would have seen more of it. For whatever reason, I'm a kind of person who is a likely candidate to watch that movie, but whatever advertising they did was not targeted anywhere on anything that I'm watching or looking at or whatever. I guess it must have been heavily on TV or something.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know who they're going. Maybe they're going after my mom.
I don't know.
Yeah, so, you know, at the end of the day, it was just, there it is. It's exactly what you would expect. There it is. Then I had one or two more things to add, but, you know, and...
So it's a resounding meh.
Yeah. And and other things that irritated me during it were, you know, it's like, you know, it's tough to do a comic book movie in that, how do you play it? How do you play the believability of someone dressing up in tights and hopping around and having these weird powers and fighting these bizarre villains? How do you approach that from a mood perspective? Do you take it seriously? Like, you know, Batman Begins did it very well. But it felt like in this one, there were just a few too many, oh, come on, moments in terms of either physics. Like, there's this scene where this crane, just a regular construction crane, is kind of going out of control and is smacking this high-rise building, and Spider-Man has to come in and save the day. And you're looking at it going, okay, that's not... The structure of this building would be strong enough that the crane just couldn't go through it like butter.
Yeah.
And, you know, this floor wouldn't collapse like this. And this, you know, the physics, it's a little too comic booky.
Yeah.
You know, with the physics. And you're like, well, I understand it's a hard line to walk, but they're failing in my mind. It's like it's pulling me out of the film because... Because
you want your movie about a web-shooting, flying man to be realistic.
Well, I want it. It's either go campier so you accept it.
Yeah.
Or, you know, to me, like Batman Begins didn't play fast and loose with physics.
Yeah.
You know, they played fast and loose with you can knock someone out with one punch, which they all do.
Yeah.
But there wasn't anything in Batman Begins. I always have to pref Batman Begins, not just Batman. Batman Begins that pulled me out of it going, oh, come on.
Well, on a minor level with Batman Begins, They created a world created by Batman's father, I guess, like this version of New York City, Gotham, that was a little too overboard with me with these high-flying monorails and stuff. Honestly, I found it, because so much of the other parts seemed to be grounded in a form of reality,
I reacted negatively to the concept of the Wayne building being at the heart of the city and having the monorail system and the water system for some retarded reason go through that building. You're right. That was stupid. Yeah.
But that said, I love that movie, and I'm really looking forward to the next one.
I really love that movie. Yeah. But, you know, so then there were some physics things. The Venom suit is now some goo that it comes in off an asteroid. And it, you know, it crashes into this park, somewhat close to where Peter Parker and Mary Jane are making out, and it comes out of this rock that's probably a foot, foot and a half in diameter, and the way they showed the entry just, you know, comes in and, you know, there's a little bit of a fireball and boom, it's there in the park.
Yeah.
You're just like, a foot and a half? No. Something that big makes a gigantic noise. There's a tremendous amount of atmospheric physics and drama that happens when something that big comes into the atmosphere.
And it would almost, well, it's hard to say, but I know, like, I visited that crater in Winslow, Arizona a couple of weeks ago, and some guy spent like 20 years trying to dig the
right
thing out. And it's like, no, it vaporized. Something exactly. comes in that fast, it doesn't exist.
Sort of the same thing that the Tunguska blast of 1907 or 8 exactly. or whatever it was in Siberia. Where I think that was more like 15, the size of a bus.
Yeah.
I mean, that was a much larger rock, but it exploded and devastated this gigantic area.
Yep.
So that, and, you know, the thing that the space organism, whatever it is, it's analyzed by Peter's science professor, and he's like, you know, it turns out this thing amplifies aggressive tendencies. And you're just like, what? What are you talking about? That's retarded. Now, granted, the origin of the suit in the comic is, you know, it's part of this older crossover series called Secret Wars, and it was an alien symbiote, and, you know, it's... I don't know how you... It was a tough row to hoe to get this concept wedged into the film. But, you know, there were parts like that, which, you know, my biggest problem with the second film, it's like Doc Ock has these mechanical arms that help him manipulate this fusion reaction. But it's okay because they're controlled by an AI inhibitor and this really fragile glass doohickey, which can break if you breathe on it.
Conveniently, right there.
I remember when we talked about Spider-Man 2, and I just could not let go of that. I dwelled on it and dwelled on it, and I still dwell on it. It's so stupid.
It didn't bother me as much at the time, but it did strike me as something out of a 60s and 70s comic book. That you have this fragile thing. It was just you accept that of course they have a fragile thing that if you can just get to, and it's like how dumb.
And towards the end, all right, I got to put this down for a second.
Matt's going to throw something at my cat.
I'm just removing his plaything.
Okay. Hopefully he won't find that plaything that we've moved to. Anyway.
The other retarded thing is this character, Harry Osborn, which was Peter Parker's friend, but then in the first movie, Willem Dafoe, his dad, turns into the Green Goblin and ends up being killed by Spider-Man. Or, you know, he basically kills himself. He tried to throw a weapon at Spider-Man and killed him.
But Harry Osborn Jr. believes that Spider-Man killed him.
Right, and that's sort of been a theme throughout the movies. It's this revenge theme. And, like, out of nowhere, at the end of the third film, Harry Osborn's butler comes up and says, "I cleaned your father's wounds, and it was clear that the blade that killed him came from his own gear." And you're just like, what? Where did that come from?
Why is he bringing that up now?
Exactly.
Anyway?
It's the... What?
Oh, man.
Really, really frustrating. Like I said, it didn't suck, but there were enough moments like that that you're just, oh, come on.
Well, maybe obviously we can get excited about the new Batman, but maybe the new Hulk will be a good movie and sort of...
Or Iron Man, that's...
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what to think on Iron Man.
I know you don't like John Favreau.
He's just such he's a cool guy, but he is a terrible, terrible director. And for this franchise, I have no idea. But then again, you know, Sam Raimi was such a bizarre choice for Spider-Man, and so clearly the right choice in retrospect, even despite all the reservations the last movie. I mean, at least he knew after making a bunch of tiny little movies. Could deliver a big, great comic book movie.
And, you know, a lot of the actors throughout all the press for the Spider-Man films have always just piled praise upon Raimi.
Yeah.
And now is they're like, well, are you guys coming back for more? And they're all kind of hedging their bets like, well, probably not, but you never know. And it's like, if all the bright people were involved. So basically they're saying, only if Sam Raimi is involved will I even think about this. Plus, don't forget, you got to back up that Sony... bank account up to my house and
I personally
unload.
Wouldn't even if I was a Sony executive because whatever agreements they had they were for a three even though they had to pay the actors and everything a fortune it was still part of a overarching three picture deal so it was somewhat limited now they would literally have to negotiate all new deals and everything this is the most expensive movie ever made and that was part of a three picture process. I could never justify, even if you know you'd make a lot, the next movie with everything in the can and everything would be probably over $550 million if you figure out expense and other stuff. I just, why not just give it to another Christopher Nolan and tell him to make a $120 million movie, reimagine it, do everything, the profit potential is going to be huge. Honest to God, I love what's his name as the as Spider-Man and Peter Parker, Tobey Maguire. But it doesn't matter to me that much. Just do a good job.
What I think is going to happen is they will get, you know, they'll just perpetuate. I don't think they're going to reimagine. I think they'll just bring in a new director and new actors and say, here's your budget. You're not knock yourselves out.
Yeah, I don't see any. I don't see a huge problem with that, honestly.
And I still see quite a few people seeing the film because I think you're right. I think they just, you know, they're not going to protest the film because Tobey Maguire is not playing Spider-Man. Yeah. Now, if they get horrible actors and they do a horrible job, no one's going to see it.
It clearly becomes like in the old days. In the old days, sequels were vastly inferior and quickie to churn out to make a profit. Oh, God. Okay, we're back on.
I think you were going on about marketing or Spider-Man 4.
Yes.
I forget the point you were making, though.
I don't know. I have no idea.
So let's move on, then.
Okay.
There's a new Transformers trailer out. Have you seen it?
I have not.
You should.
Hmm.
It shows what you wanted to see transforming.
What's that?
Some of the robots transforming
into
stuff.
Oh, good. Okay, cool.
It's a pretty good trailer. It's one of those where I went back and watched it a couple of times.
Cool.
I'm trying to freeze frame and look at stuff. And it looks like the way they're approaching it is right in terms of, like we were talking about, the tone of Spider-Man, like the tone of this, and trying to figure out how these actual robots that turn into things, how they approach that from a realistic perspective and how the military would deal with something like that.
Good.
Realistically. So from the trailers so far, and there's a good joke at the beginning of it I won't ruin for you, but it actually made me laugh.
Cool.
And they show Starscream transforming from an F-22 Raptor into a robot, and they show a few other partial, you see a bit of Optimus Prime transforming, you see some Bumblebee transforming.
These names mean nothing to me, having never watched the original series, but I'm definitely looking forward to the movie.
Optimus Prime? I think you've probably heard of
Optimus Prime. I've heard the name, but honest to God, prior to about 2 months ago when you start hearing about Buzz, I wouldn't have known where the name Optimus Prime came from. I literally had no... I mean, dude, I was born in 68. Transformers was definitely not something that I was watching. And so I missed all of that. So when you're saying Bumblebee and the others, I'm aware of it now through the movie. I'm excited. But it has nothing to do with the original Transformers series at all. I just have no knowledge of it at all. The only thing I remember of it is just periodically seeing ads for the toys, Transformers, robots in disguise. That's the only thing I know about Transformers.
Well, technically, the shows were big ads for the toys.
Yeah. But anyway, that's all I know. That's all I know. I never watched a single thing. It just struck me as, just as somebody later might, or earlier, whatever, might look at somebody my age being infatuated with, like, Scooby-Doo or something, you know, I don't know. Anyway.
It's interesting from the perspective of essentially G.I. Joe and Transformers were cartoons created to sell the toys. It's not like the toys came after. It was a very deliberate marketing ploy. And you know, to a large degree, it worked because myself and all my friends had and wanted G.I. Joe and Transformers toys. But beyond that, you know, the content was interesting enough that certainly we've got this nostalgic connection to it, especially the Transformers, a little less so to G.I. Joe, but, you know, and even now knowing how craven a, you know, product it was in terms of just trying to sell toys, still, it's like, you know, the people that were writing it were doing, you know, the best job they could, and they did a good enough job that you kind of overlook the fact that it was a big marketing push. You're like, I still have fond memories, regardless of the fact it was just trying to sell me stuff.
Yeah.
You know, most of the stories they told were interesting enough, certainly as a kid, that I, wow. Anyway.
Yeah, and there was other shows that were created as marketing gimmicks, and they never took off at all. So it's not like it's the worst thing in the world that they did that. It's just the way those shows work, and there's others, I can't even remember a name, but there's some that were designed for the same way and didn't go anywhere.
Exactly. And so it's just interesting that these particular two have staying power for whatever reason.
Yep.
And I don't know if that's a credit to the writers or a credit to some other bizarre...
Were they totally American, like obviously outsourcing the animation, or was it something that was generated in like...
No, I believe it was American.
Okay.
Hmm. And I there were a few... No, never mind. I don't want to go down there. Anyway, so there's a new Transformers trailer out. I think you would enjoy it.
Sweet.
That's July 4th weekend.
Yep.
So the Cannes Film Festival, whatever, is going on right now.
Mm-hmm.
Some stuff coming out of that. Extremely... All right.
Good.
A lot of good word about the latest Coen Brothers movie.
Yep.
No Country for Old Men.
Yep.
Nothing but good, positive, really incredible reviews for this film, which I know you're super excited to see it to the point you don't want to read anything else about it.
Yeah, I'm. I just
don't want anything spoiled for you.
Yeah, I want to go in as fresh as a daisy, and so it's pretty clear the movie's going to take a while for it to come out, and it's like, oh crap. Hopefully it doesn't take a while, but if it does, I'm trying to avoid everything, and I accidentally. Wells did the perfect teaser rave where he didn't give a single thing away but talked about how what a powerful experience it was. And then today he gave away something a little bit. Not really giving it away, but enough that it's like, oh, God. Oh,
oh, I know what you're talking about. I read that too.
And it's like, God dang it. I didn't want to read something about James Brolin's fate. Or it's like... being unresolved. What the hell?
And now you just ruined it for our listener.
Oh yeah, our listener. They I don't know, it just kind of like it's like whatever. I mean, I'm sure he felt in the context of the movie it means nothing. It's probably pretty clear something's I don't know, but it's like dow.
Yeah, so you know they're saying it's more I don't know, in the original bit that you forwarded, it was more austere than Blood Simple, more focused, which was a pretty austere film. But they're saying, you know, just as filmmakers, you know, their growth, their quality of this movie is incredible. And the noir aspects and the...
Well, it's great because they've had such a horrible run. Well, not a horrible run, but people perceived as a horrible run. Lady Killers.
I still want to see that.
Yeah, it's just, it was, you know, it's kind of one of those things like when they did Oh Brother, Where Art Thou, you had actors... acting in a very broad, specific way that really seemed to work. But in retrospect, I mean, you're looking at the way George Clooney acted and but anyway, you'll see the way they're acting. It's extremely broad and specific, and it works really well. And in The Lady Killers, you had Tom Hanks and others acting in a similar way, and it didn't work particularly well. And then the... Intolerable Cruelty just didn't even strike me as a Coen Brothers movie. I mean, there was parts of it that was okay, but ultimately, I just found myself going, wow, I'm not sure what they were thinking with that one. Man Who Wasn't There, great movie, although for whatever reason, it's not particularly well-regarded, but I thought it was awesome. And then prior to that, it's Oh Brother, Where Art Thou? So to a certain extent, people are thinking it's been like 8 years since a movie they've done has had resonance. And so I think they're due, and I'm excited for it.
And the other big news, well, aside from Jerry Seinfeld coming in on a bee costume to promote his bee movie, and actually the teaser trailers for that have been fairly clever and inventive.
Have they finally shown actual animation, or is it still
him? I think they showed some at Cannes. I don't know if it's on the web or not. I haven't seen it. So there was that publicity stunt. But the other big news is Michael Moore's Sicko, which has finally been seen by people. We talked about this 3 weeks ago in our last show about how he'd been very much flying under the radar until he went to Cuba as part of filming some last scenes for this thing. And suddenly there's some controversy, there's some publicity.
Yeah.
And now that the film has actually been seen, people are saying it's a great film.
Yeah, I mean, Wells again said it was like this profoundly moving. It left him floored. He said, "So
right." So what the tack Michael Moore took was to look at middle class, how the middle class deals with health insurance when something you think is going to be covered isn't. So it's not from the perspective of the uninsured, but from the people who think that they're safe.
Yeah, which is good and interesting because it really focused on... I thought when I read that, I thought, that's brilliant because to win over hearts and minds of Americans...
Relatable.
Well, Americans, we claim we bemoan the fact that so many of us are uninsured or whatever, but then we go, people being dismissive going, if anybody wants health care, they can get it in this America. So it ends up being this argument you can never win.
Which is, you know, headline of the Seattle Times last week, one of our local insurance providers, Premera Blue Cross, bumps their individual health premiums by an average of 19%.
Yeah. So what his point was is, let's not even do that. Let's focus on this healthcare that we all claim is great.
Right.
And so wonderful that we're paying twice as much as everybody else for, and compare it to everybody else. And it's stunning. And I think, honestly, a lot of Americans, they bring up this point. We've been fed this mantra of any other medicine. It's this socialized medicine, how awful
right.
it is. And I'm a person who has lived in another country and been a product of that socialized medicine. I remember distinctly it not ever being an issue if I wanted to go to the dentist or get glasses or go to the doctor ever. I remember I was like 12, 13 years old when I lived in Canada, and my mom, who's a Canadian, they don't think it's perfect, but they would never give it up over anything. And I think this movie will start resonating, opening eyes.
Well, it's, you know, last week, the week before, one of the Science Friday sections, which is one of the podcasts I listened to, dealt with healthcare reform.
Uh-huh.
And the person they had sort of defending the American system was pointing out, you know, if I want to, I can go get a heart bypass at, you know, one of four or five really top facilities tomorrow, where you can't do that, according to him, in France or in Canada. And so it's, you know, I just sort of bring that up.
Well, and of course, Michael Moore would say, well, and I'm sure he would hesitate to focus on this aspect, if you have a lot of money or this incredible insurance plan, possibly could, but that's not necessarily true.
The caveat is you have to have the money.
Yeah, but what's more important is that even in this place where it's all available and you think you have really good insurance, these insurers are pointedly and specifically doing everything they can to deny you coverage that you actually have, to tell you you're not qualified for this bone marrow transplant that you know would save your life, and your insurer says that they cover it, but they decide to not cover it. You suddenly have cancer. You've been on this plan for 2 years, but they decide that cancer had to have been in you prior to being there, so it's a pre-existing condition. You know, it's like such a disingenuous thing to talk about, I can go get coverage anywhere. And I think the honest refutation of that is to ask Canadians, ask French, ask British people, you know, they'll say this, what would you rather have? And they'd go, I don't ever think that it's a concern. If I need to get a heart surgery, I'm going to get it at a top clinic. They're not concerned about that. For some reason, it's this concern of Americans.
Yeah, and in order for the film to really work, in my opinion, it really needs to successfully address the criticisms, the commonly held beliefs of what's wrong with the other countries. You know, like the guy said, the guy who said that, you know, you could get a... you could go to New York and get a bypass if you want. He also said, well, the doctors in France aren't paid as well. And it's like, well, not paid as well. If they're paid well enough and they're still respected, you know, it's this common belief that doctors make a ton of money in America. That's true, but they're also having to pay for three or four people whose only jobs it is to deal with the insurance.
Yeah.
You know, and all this incredible overhead. So maybe if they didn't have to deal with that, it actually equals out. You know, I want to see that addressed. And, of course, the big, big, big thing that's always brought up is grandma's hip replacement. Grandma had to wait in line in Canada to get a hip replacement. And, you know, it's like, well, part B of that is it's not life-threatening.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's because, or, you know, that really needs to be addressed.
Well, there's a couple of things. One is, I don't care what anybody says. People wait in line here all the frickin' time
for
stuff.
Well, then that should be brought up.
And
I agree.
It's amazing. And then certain things that they don't wait that you get immediately here, it's because they found a profit mechanism for them, such as MRIs. We have like 25 million MRI machines in America, way more than can ever be necessary, because they realize this is something that they could generate profits from. So you could literally run down the street and get 10 different MRIs, versus in Canada it might take you a little bit longer, but you know what? They're not as critical, and it's probably a better system. In terms of what you're saying about grandma's hip replacement, again, you know, it's like you're saying, it seems to me it's like the proper mix. And here, in terms of how much a doctor gets paid, the doctors get paid well in those countries. Here, you can get paid stratospheric pay, or, you know, if you work really hard or if you do stuff up there. My understanding is doctors tend to have a more realistic life up there. They tend to work what would be more akin to a normal set of hours, and they get paid relatively normally stuff. Down here, it just becomes this entire profit mechanism, and I'm not sure that in any way translates to better health care. I just don't understand how that actually necessarily translates to it if somebody's getting $250,000 a year versus $500,000 a year.
No, I agree, but we're actually now debating healthcare instead of the movie. So all I'm saying is those issues, to my mind, need to be addressed and dealt with for the movie to really sink in and hopefully, you know, start a discussion, change some mind. Yeah. You know, you've got to address grandma's hip replacement. You've got to address like you were just talking about, the money thing. And Michael Moore had this comment I read this morning about how, you know, you're looking at the Canadian system, the British system, the French system, which is widely regarded as the best in the world, you know, not by who? By the World Health Organization, and how much better those countries are compared to us, and life expectancy and infant death rate, and how pathetically low the United States is.
How the poor of England have better health care than the rich of America.
And Michael Moore is saying all these and saying, you know, the American way, why can't we just steal the best things from other people and use them here? Yeah. That's the American way.
Well, so did you read the one thing that doesn't surprise me, but I found very interesting, that that guy who's been running that website for years, More Watch, he set it up during 9/11 or Fahrenheit 9/11. You know, this big, virulent anti-Moore critic. And about 3 years ago, he basically put the website on hold because his wife started suffering, I can't remember what it was, cancer or something, and he needed to devote his time and energies to his wife, and an anonymous benefactor paid all of his wife's medical bills and would not tell him or do anything, you know, would not explain who did it. He had no idea, although he suspected it might in fact be one Michael Moore. And Michael Moore actually said today, yeah, I was that person. I just felt, you know, he did, and at least according to him, he didn't do it for any publicity thing or whatever. He just did it. And he says, I wanted him to continue doing whatever he felt, even if he was attacking me or whatever. And it was, I don't know, it was interesting. Interesting. There's no way that decision for him to do it will not be interpreted negatively by every blogger, everything, that he's just trying to do it and use it as publicity for his thing. I don't know what to say, but I'd say, boy, if I was that guy, even if he was doing it, I'd be pretty grateful that he paid for saving my wife's life. So
I agree. So anyway, Sicko. Do you know when it's supposed to open?
I have no idea. I'm assuming in fall.
I haven't actually read anything
about that.
A lot
of these canned things end up being open, unless it's like a world premiere for a movie. It's opening next week. It's like often in fall, so they end up talking about it. There are literally some. So I have. I noticed last night I've officially beaten you in achievement points.
Oh,
in Xbox.
Hold on. Before we get to video games, I got one more thing on here.
Okay.
That actually Wells mentioned briefly, and that's that Bill Maher is making a documentary about religion.
Yeah, he's been talking about it for a while.
And there was another name there, but it wasn't one I recognized.
Yeah.
And I cannot wait to see that.
It's going
to
be freaking awesome.
Because one of the podcasts I listen to is the Real Time Broadcast from HBO. And he does a fantastic job. And he really does. And especially talking about religion, which has been a running theme of his over the years through his comedy specials and stand-up. I can't wait to see this. Because,
what's weird is it's the age, for whatever reason, the last 6 months, it has become really common, really easy for people to be unapologetic in being, for the most part, anti-religion or atheist. And what, because in the past, it's always been, okay, you go on and you have to say, oh, I'm a believer, but I want to defend people's rights, or I don't really believe, but if their own, you have to be real defensive and whatever. Mm-hmm. And with Dawkins and Christopher Hitchens, God dang, Christopher Hitchens on Hannity talking about Jerry Falwell.
I actually saw that on, I saw Christopher Hitchens' bit, a 6-minute bit on YouTube, and I don't think it was from that. But from The Daily Show, The Daily Show showed a clip of Hitchens on Hannity and Combs, which I saw last night.
Well, Hannity just, he's passed away, so let's talk about the good and this and that. And Hitchens going, no, he was a vile, vile man, and if in fact there is a hell, I would assume he's rolling in it. And but what about his family? This is not about his family. He was a vile man, and it was and Hitchens just did such a beautiful job. And Dawkins, before him, a lot of people are all upset. Dawkins is horrible because he's putting the movement back, and it's like, no, he's just being as virulent as these fundamentalists are in the other direction. And I think that Bill Maher, because he's so funny and he's so talented when he gets his mind around some subject, I think he's going to make an awesome documentary.
And the other thing about Bill Maher is he doesn't seem to be that hypocritical.
Yeah.
He it's clear that he smokes pot. It's clear that, he's a womanizer.
He's a philandering womanizer.
and he jokes about it all the time. And he said, and it's like, he's like, I've got a date with a prostitute tonight. You're like, is he really seeing prostitutes? But, he's not holding himself up as better. He's just, because he points at his own flaws are right there. Whether or not you think sleeping around with women and doing drugs is character flaws or not. But God, I cannot wait to see that, because, religion is so a part of this country, and is so, the way it's being dealt with and utilized right now is so frightening.
Yeah, I agree.
And, the concept of mega churches and the concept of, conservative mega churches deciding to influence voting patterns and, the power they have with that is just insane.
Yeah. Yeah, I can't wait. And, of course, I love Bill Maher because he's like a huge animal rights guy.
Is he?
Yeah, oh, he's huge.
I didn't know that.
Consistently, he's like constantly like a spokesman for PETA, and he always hosts the Genesis Awards. And, he's a big, big animal rights guy. When at my previous job, you'd regularly see stuff coming down the pike from him because he's always supports.
I don't know how I missed that.
So, yeah, him. There's several out there. Him, James Cromwell. The guy from LA Confidential.
I knew about James Cromwell. I knew about Chrissy Hynde.
Yep. Yeah, Bill Maher, he's huge into that, which I find really cool. And he does it in not a smarmy way. Periodically on his show, it'll come up, but it comes up in a really consistent way. He's also really good about joking about it, but he will definitely just talk about animals and why we should care about them. And to me, I think that's important because it's clearly a moral choice on him. And the knock against people or anti-religion is, well, how can they have any morals? Because it's got to be somehow based on religion. And I'm going, I think he is moral where he needs and wants to be. And he doesn't think it's necessary to be philandering with women who are willing to be philandered with, and with animals he wants to be moral about it. I love Bill Maher. I honestly, when I first heard this thing, I go, yay, a real, not some annoying crackpot is doing it, but a real mainstream funny guy is going to do a movie, and it maybe will have an opportunity to get out there. I think HBO Films might be funding it, so even if it doesn't get a wide release, it'll get all over HBO, so...
Yeah, that'll be great.
Yep.
And I should point out that I personally have no problem if you believe in God, but the way the...
I don't either. Yeah, it's just I abhor fundamentalism and how it's playing out in in every kind, from Islamic to Christian.
I think it was a 60 Minutes bit. They were talking about David Kuo, the guy who came out of the faith-based initiatives office.
Yep.
And, you know, he had gone into a religious conference of some sort.
Yep.
And all of the tables were filled with literature about, you know, homosexuality and how it's evil. And all about that and about abortion. There wasn't a single piece of literature in there about helping the poor.
Yep.
You know, about, you know, pulling people up, about, you know, all these other things that religion is, you know, Jesus preached. And it's
funny how,
to me, that's the hypocrisy
of course.
Organized religion is like, you know, I know that there are churches out there that help the poor, you know, that are sheltering illegal immigrants. You know, I think that's, regardless of your stance on immigration, they're helping people.
Yep.
I think that is fantastic. It's when you look at, you know, the Vatican and the untold wealth that they sit on.
Yeah.
And, you know, why isn't all of that being used to help the poor instead of, you know, having these hordes of, you know, piles of gold?
Well, what was interesting is how after Kuo left, because he was, well, part of the reason he left was because he was so upset over the fact that what he got in there to be part of was, he realized, no, it was just another
window dressing.
Yeah. And so what did they do? Whenever he'd go speak, they would just turn on him, as every other person, no matter what you do, if you turn on him, you know, or if you oppose them, they will turn on you, and it doesn't matter what you accomplished.
Right.
It's no difference. Like, look at the way they've eviscerated Chuck Hagel. But anyway.
Okay, so you were gloating about your...
Well, unbeknownst to me, I go to compare a friend, and I'm going, I now have more points than my friend, Mr. Brown.
So was that because of the new achievements from the
downloadable
content?
No, there was only one new achievement that I got from Crackdown, but it's a fun one.
Well, I wonder what you did that...
I started getting all of them, you know, things like the stunt driving, which I don't think you have many of.
There's a high jump and a long jump that I have not been able to get yet.
Yeah, the high jump, well, in a car somehow, I got that one by... I don't know, I got blown up, but my car didn't get destroyed. So it was one of those things where I got flown a million feet in the air, and I don't know how the hell I did it. And then the long jump
bastard.
I did. But but I paid for, like, that new little pack, and it comes with this gun, this harpoon gun. And all of the things in the pack are fun, but you don't use them regularly. But one of the things that's really fun is, it's this harpoon movement, is if you shoot somebody with a harpoon gun, they end up, the harpoon goes through them, and it sticks to the car, the building, or whatever they're in. So what you do is, if you can shoot 5 gang members so they stick in a car, then you get the achievement.
No,
at various times. But what happens is you shoot one, and then you drive around looking for another gang member. But the physics is beautiful, because they're stuck to the car, and as you turn, they wave in the wind.
Oh,
so you end up having this car, and I ended up just seeing
my
how
wife
I could
would
get.
Love that.
Well, you need only 5, and I ended up getting 12 guys on this car, and you're driving along with 12 dead gang members harpooned to your car. It's quite amusing, But no, I did that, and I don't think you have, like, the front flipper, which is you have to flip 3 times in a vehicle, and I did that by just throwing a car up to the top of a building and then jumping off the building with the car, and, you know, a lot of little things. But I'm down to the point now. The one that took me forever was that horrible Repo Man one. Oh,
I
God.
Think I don't know if I've
No, you
got
have
him.
That. You
okay.
have
Okay.
That
I was purposefully working on that for a while. And
it
was
just
like...
I think later I realized, well, you have to pull them out of the driver's side or something. All I know is, I swear I pulled a million gang members out of cars.
Yeah.
And but anyway, so I got that, and then I also got the Rampage achievement, which you don't have. And that's one where you have to do, like, 5 different things.
I've got parts of that, but...
Yeah. So when push comes to shove, now there's... The only thing I have left that's relatively easily achievable is 5 car stunts in 60 seconds, and I'm not really good at doing those car stunts, so I don't think I'll do that. And then the others are a lot of co-op stuff and a lot of things like complete all of the driving missions and do all the rings, you know. And it's like, screw that. So I think I will top out at 650 or whatever I have.
But part of the problem is I've had no time. Selling the house and buying another house has been tremendously time consuming.
Yeah.
And then they released the Halo 3 demo beta last week, which was fine. So that they release it, let me think for a second. I want to get the timeline right in my head. So it's supposed to be available like Wednesday morning.
At a very specific time, like 9 a.m. Or something.
Turns out that the key system they built into the Crackdown disk doesn't really work the way it's supposed to,
yeah.
Which is how most people were going to access the beta.
Yep.
So they didn't get that fixed till the evening, like 5:30 p.m. Pacific time.
And literally it was front page news across the globe.
Was it front page? I know, there was an article in the Seattle Times the next day. But
there wasn't the only article, but yeah. Well, I mean, the way Diggers dug it up, it was as if they were publishing, you know, the keys to the HD DVD release.
We didn't talk about that either.
I mean, it was enormously, people were literally freaking out. But anyway, well, so it came online.
And you're just, my God, people, it's a friggin' demo of a video game.
Yeah.
I understand it's, you know, you're looking forward to it, and it's maybe the best video game ever, who knows, but get a life.
Did you have any problems downloading it?
Yes, I did.
What kind of problems
Mainly
do you have?
Mainly it's because you need it, well, I think it's specific to my system. There's something about my system that I need to babysit downloads, or, I can't start a download and then flip to watch TV.
I couldn't either. I did that, and then I moved out, and then it disconnected.
Yeah, and that happens to me fairly frequently. And I think, actually, it may be that my Dish Network box may be calling out and hanging up. And because there's no audible cue that's happening, I don't know that it's doing that. But the way my DSL is set up, if a call comes in and you pick up the phone, it hangs up all my network connections, which is a gigantic pain in the ass, but whatever. I don't talk on the phone that much, so.
Yeah.
And plus, it just took, and it also said you could continue the download from Xbox Live Marketplace. I couldn't. I needed, the only way I could do the download was with the Crackdown disc.
Well, I did, so, but it re-picked up after, and honestly, I had to have downloaded it in an extremely short period of time.
See, mine was, the first night was like for 2 hours, and it was like halfway done, and by that point it was like 11 o'clock, and I was just like,
well,
I don't want it to be downloading in the background, A, with the disk spinning, and B, with the likelihood that the network connection is going to hang up anyway.
Yeah.
So it took me two more sessions of little bits of free time here and there to get it.
I think it took me a max of like a half an hour to download
it. I finally got it Friday night, popped it in, played it. You know, it took me a little while, and it's frustrating because you want like a little private sandbox version so that you can figure out they switch the controls around a little bit so that you can figure out how to do things without being wailed on. But of course you can't do that. So the first couple of games you play, you're just going to get wailed on by the people that were playing it, been playing it solidly.
Yeah. I played it, and everybody I played with clearly was just as new as me. I still got smoked, and it took me 30 seconds in to realize, that's right, I hate these games.
I know you do.
And I just don't enjoy them at all. I prefer completely first-person shooter where I know what to expect coming around the pike, and I can plan for it and gear for it, and I was terrible as usual, and I hate them. I don't know if this is going to be any better or worse, but, you know, I checked out the message boards. Everybody hated the snow game. I never played the snow one. I only played the other one.
It's the first Rumble Pit game I was in, you know, there's some stupid 12-year-old kid using the N-word.
Really?
Yeah.
You should report him, man.
Well, I couldn't tell who was talking.
Oh.
Otherwise I would have, because I, you know, that Major Nelson, and they're like, you know, use the feedback system, because it helps.
Yeah.
So I would have if I could have.
That's appalling.
It really is. After that, it's been a lot better. There's been some stupid comments, but nothing insulting.
Well, I, of course, turn the volume, turn the sound completely off, and never put the microphone, because I have no interest in talking to people I don't know who they are.
I have, you know, if I get with a group of guys on Team Slayer, and they end up being okay, and there's some talking, then I'll go with it, but I won't initiate.
Yeah.
And, you know, to me, multiplayer is more about playing with friends and people you know.
Now, and if you're doing that, of course, that's it. But random people, I don't know. It's something.
It's a hodgepodge.
I don't know. Although, you and I should play Crackdown Cooperative and see how that goes. Because there's one achievement that I need to get. It's really easy with Crackdown. It's like the five stunts. And basically, I've seen videos of if your buddy just picks up your car and throws it five times in a row and it spins, you're going to get the achievement.
Huh.
So But yeah, there's a whole bunch of achievement whore points you can get as achievement row. After you sell your house.
After this moving drama is over.
You'll have
to play. Part of the other issue is when people are coming to look at, like this weekend, this is the first weekend that the house is on the market. So we essentially cannot be home.
Yeah.
It's either we can be home or leave every 15 minutes so a realtor can show it or look at it. Because you absolutely do not want to be there when someone's looking at the house.
No.
It's incredibly awkward.
Yeah, it's the realtor doesn't feel like, it's just
you
weird.
You can't, people, all they want to do is then get out.
Yeah.
Because they want to be able to judge your house without you being there hearing it.
Yeah.
So, and then today we have an open house, which is, we had hoped to be able to sell it without an open house, because you hardly ever get serious buyers there. It's all just your neighbors tromping in and looking at all your junk.
Yeah, wanting to look at your house.
And you're just like, please don't touch my HDTV. Please don't touch my Xbox. Don't touch anything. So anyway, once, that's part of the other issue, is even when we're home, and when you're home, you can't really live in your house. It's like you're living in a museum. There has to be no person, there can't be any dishes in the sink. Sink has to be clean. Everything's got to be picked up. You can't, leave a magazine on the coffee room table. You can't leave your Xbox controller just hanging out.
Yeah.
So it's really restrictive in what you can do in your free time. So hopefully when all this moving drama is over, I'll have free time again and we can play online. Although after this, I'm going to a friend's out of town, so I'm going to their house to kill time, and I brought my hard drive, so I'll be playing the Halo 3 beta.
Xbox hard drive?
Yeah.
Oh, so you can just take it with you on that and open it up?
I hope so, because that way, then it will think that it's my Xbox 360 at his house, because I took my hard drive over there.
Yeah, I don't know how that works. Yeah, I literally turned it off. I played for about 4 minutes, and I realized I will probably never play multiplayer again, and I'm looking forward to Halo 3. I'm definitely looking forward to it.
Announced for September 25th, by the way.
Yeah, I saw they had a date, and that's pretty much the same exact date as Grand Theft Auto, because last year they announced Grand Theft Auto absolutely November whatever, 2007, but I've noticed lately they've actually moved it up a little bit.
Hmm.
So I am... That's the one. And there's nothing else. I noticed you played Ghost Recon. What did you think of that game? Yeah, or Ghost Recon, a while ago.
I quite enjoyed it.
Yeah.
The first player aspect, once you get the hang of how to use cover, and that's a game that really rewards knowing how to use your control scheme well. There's some games you don't...
You're just mashing buttons.
Right. Or all you need to know really how to do is fire.
Yeah.
And everything else, you can do the game better, but if you know how to fire, you can bludgeon your way through. That game really rewards knowing how to use your control scheme well.
I'm so broke right now, and I'm thinking, I want to get another game, but I don't want to spend a bunch of
money.
That
one, I believe, is going platinum.
So it might be down 30
bucks.
30 bucks, yeah.
In fact,
is there other platinum ones that you know that are any good?
Lego Star Wars is supposed to be fantastic.
Yeah, that's the one I want to get.
I want to get that one, too.
Because I imagine I'll play that quite a bit.
And I haven't... I played the demo, which was engaging.
Yeah.
I need to look into that as well. I quite enjoyed it. If I had it, I would lend it to you, but I borrowed it from another friend.
Yeah. No, I think that Lego Star Wars, that's what I'll get, because it just... I don't know, there isn't...
And I did research on that like a month ago when they announced it, and I could not find... I could not find a release date. They just announced it was going to happen, and you're like, well, when? And I went on Amazon and buy, and I couldn't find any information on it at all. So maybe it's out now. I don't know.
Yeah, could be.
That would be... Maybe I'll stop by Best Buy on my way to wherever I'm going. Let's see, what other...
I was talking about my camera.
Hold on, I'm trying to think if there's anything else video game going on.
Well, there's... I don't know, it's amazing
it kind of ties back into the Spider-Man 3 game was released on all platforms.
Oh, that's always a good sign when they time it exactly. Those are always really good games.
That's always the way it...
I know, but they never... I mean, think of the Matrix, think about these other ones.
I got Enter the Matrix, and you know what? I didn't think it was horrible. It probably wasn't worth... $50.
You enjoyed going through the same hallway over and over
I didn't hate it. At the time, I enjoyed it, and I enjoyed seeing the footage that they shot specifically for the game. I thought it was okay, and then the more I played it, the more I realized that clearly this was half-baked.
Yeah.
And it never really occurred to me that you could have that situation, in this case, all I know about Spider-Man 3 is from Penny Arcade. Mm-hmm. They did a whole comic on it. The practical guide to what to do if you purchase Spider-Man 3. Step 1, don't panic. Step 2, lay down and wait to die. Not a good experience.
Oh, no.
It's like, God, they never are. I don't know.
They're never, in the PC world, there's a couple of games that have surprised people and gotten really good reviews. In fact, much better than the movie. The most famous one being in the PC world, The Chronicles of Riddick.
Oh, really? Because that's actually in the console world, that's the one that's viewed as the best.
Yeah.
And everyone was surprised, like, wow, this is actually a good game.
Exactly. And
every other movie port has apparently sucked.
Yeah, yeah.
And you're just, what, I'd be curious to know what the business case is, because they keep cranking them out. What percentage of console owners or PC owners are actually buying these games?
You know, and the funny thing is Chronicles of Riddick came out after the movie, but most of the time they're doing that to time it to the release of the movie because they're simply trying to use the free publicity.
Well,
if they're going
like,
to spend,
well, how?
If they're spending $100 million on promoting Spider-Man 3, that becomes the cheapest publicity ever, so that's why they put out these half-baked ones.
Yeah, but it's got to, I mean, the economics of it have got to be fascinating because they know they can't be that popular.
Yeah.
I have zero interest in the Spider-Man 3 game. I'm sure you have zero interest in it as well.
Yeah.
And yet, because they keep making them, despite the fact that they have this reputation as sucking, somebody's buying them. And so clearly, they have set the production budget at a profitable level. They know how many units they're going to move ahead of time.
I almost got the King Kong game when it came out because I was intrigued by it. It got middling reviews.
I think it got bad reviews.
Well, it got some were good because they were saying, well, it's interesting because of what they've chosen to do. You're literally, you have no, there's no heads up display. It's just you and, but yeah, I didn't. I noticed there's a new movie version of a video game coming out, and those are always challengingly bad, but the one that is coming out now that I saw this picture on Ain't It Cool News that frightened me, I'm going, oh no, it's Hitman, and they have Timothy Oliphant playing Hitman.
I didn't click on it because I never played the game.
I've played every one of the games, and they're fun, but there is simply, unless you completely change everything, it's simply a complete non-film kind of property. You're basically a hitman that goes into various areas and you quietly go around killing a bunch of people till you get the main person you kill. There's no interactions, there's no backstory. In fact, the whole point to it is you're this nameless bald guy with a with a barcode on the back of your head, which is stupid in of itself. And so there was Timothy Oliphant, and you see him shaved with a barcode on the back of his head, which is freaking stupid. And then they cut to him in the front and he's smiling and he looks so goofy bald. That said, Timothy Oliphant in Go, you remember him as drug dealer in Go?
Absolutely.
And in Deadwood, I mean, he's a really good actor, so I could imagine him being really good, but it's such a stupid premise. I really enjoyed the video game. I have killed more people in Hitman than probably any other game short of Crackdown, but I cannot possibly imagine it being an enjoyable movie at all. I don't know what's going on there, but then again, you never know.
Yep. There's not much going on in the computer world. They Apple announced that they're officially going to be moving to a different type of screen in their laptops that uses LED backlighting instead of CFL backlighting.
Well,
which is great.
You've heard about the class action lawsuit that's filed yesterday.
A bunch of
people in those screens, they're upset because they're claiming that Apple was, these are underperforming screens and things like they
which
claimed
screens?
Like in some of their laptops and others, they're claiming that, Apple claims that we can get millions of colors, but the only way to do it is through dithering and, and all this other stuff. And there's like a class action lawsuit going on because they're saying they misrepresented their screens and the quality of the stuff. And what they were saying was, what was driving them nuts was it clearly was not the screens. It's the software, because if you run Windows on those Apples, you do have access to all of that. So they're saying it was something
Hear anything about that? I've never had a problem with it. I've had that PowerBook. I bought it right after I bought my existing house, which was fall of 2001. No, yep. Spring of 2002. So this is 2007, 5 years. I've had it over 5 years. The hard drive had a crash. But I haven't had a single, no screen problems at all, certainly in terms of quality. And I've never looked at it and thought I was missing a single color. Now, clearly, I'm not using Photoshop for color applications. I'm not trying to make high definition movies on mine.
Yeah.
I don't need a monitor that does every last little thing. So if I was and the monitor was misrepresented as doing that, then yes, I would be pissed.
Yeah.
So
I don't think it's akin to when they released that Pocket PC many years ago where they'd claimed it had a certain amount of colors, but it turns out that the screen was only capable of 10,000 colors or something. I don't think it's something like that. I just think it's, I don't know, it's hard to say. You know, the flip side of the cult of Mac is you have people with much, much, much higher expectations than other things, and they feel compelled to do a class action lawsuit for something that in another environment it wouldn't even be considered. So, I don't know.
And so they updated the MacBooks a little bit. They're supposed to update the MacBook Pro line pretty soon now, mm-hmm. which that's the model I want, so we'll see what happens.
Did you see the iPhone got regulatory or FCC approval?
I did. Still on track for June.
Yep.
We'll see. You know, I don't think there's anything new to say about it. We'll just have to see what happens.
Yep.
Yeah, so you got a new high-definition camcorder Sony.
It's not a Red. But
it's not a Red.
But no, it's kind of a prosumer high def camcorder. I love it. It's unbelievable. Except for my system cannot handle the high def right now. It's too high of a bit rate on my computer, so it just stutter steps. But you can, what's cool is you can output on the fly in just DV quality. So you can record everything in high def and build your stuff with DV quality, and later if you want to go and make a high def version, you still have all the original files.
That's cool.
So you can also record in DV, but there's honestly absolutely no reason. Why would you if you can output in it? But it's really stunning. I mean, I work at this cat shelter, and I was videotaping this sleeping cat, and I, from a distance, I zoomed way in, and I could see like just this incredible detail, all the hairs in his ear, and it was like, and I put it up on my video projector here, which is almost high def, and it was just stunning, the clarity. It's like, wow, this is just a deal breaker. This changes everything.
How much was it?
It was $24,995 from our friends at Abe's of Maine. And there was a couple fly-by-night places that were slightly cheaper.
The Russian Mafia in Coney Island?
Yeah, basically. But Abe's of Maine, which, you know, they kind of jack you around sometimes. You know, they're trying to get you to buy all this other accessories and stuff. But I've never had a problem with them, and I've purchased probably $10,000 worth of gear from them over the last 5 years.
Uh-huh.
So no problems. $2,500, list price like $3,500. And places like even B&H, which is the gold standard for places, even they were charging like $2,700. So it was a good deal. I had it next day air, and I got it. 18 hours after I ordered the thing, so it was great.
Richard's instant gratification.
I save so much money, why not spend a little extra on next day air?
I'm not, I don't judge
so
you,
it's
sir.
Sweet, but it's not technically mine. Well, it's not even not technically. It is not my camera. It is my work's camera, but I will, and I'm going to use it for work kind of stuff, but since I'm totally into my work, I'm really excited to have it and utilize it for work. So.
Yeah, that's cool.
So it's pretty cool, really fun.
You know what you can do with that?
What's that?
Hairy Bob and Man Ass.
No. That's the funny thing.
That's an inside joke reference to a Bill Hicks joke that Richard and I enjoy.
You know, hopefully, I mean, you look at this and you look at the clarity and you start to see why, you know, supposedly all these porn stars are all upset about the coming digital or high def age, and you can kind of see why when I can see crystal clear the hair in a cat's ear is.
Uh-huh.
You can imagine what else would be crystal clear, and it's like, I don't think anybody wants to see that.
No.
So, anyways, I'm pretty excited. It's a cool camera, and I've got a whole bunch of little video projects I got in the pike that I'm really excited
there's
about.
There's a degree to which I'm jealous. On the other hand, I've got no time. I haven't done a bit of video editing in 3 years now.
Yeah.
And so, you know, you don't really forget how to edit, but certainly the bits that make it go faster or...
Well, you know, I haven't hardly done any of it either, but it's funny. I started doing some editing and I realized, boy, this is the first time I've actually used this version of Premiere and it's way better than the old one. I was really excited. But what's funny is the new version is out. So I almost have been bypassed an entire product cycle of Premiere, which has never happened before because I used to do it all the time. Mm-hmm. So the new version, which I'll get soon, is apparently even better. My big problem, I have two big problems right now, is one, my laptop is absolutely not capable of handling processing power. And next mm-hmm. year I'm going to have to get a better laptop. And then the other thing I have is I have a pretty nice sound system that I bought, a wireless lav mic and stuff, but I don't have any light kit. And at our previous job, we had a pretty nice little setup, and I need to order another one. But I cannot justify that without certain powers that be getting pissed off at me. So I'm going to try and do a modified one with just cheesy halogen lights and stuff. I don't know,
check eBay or check Craigslist.
See if there might be a good one or that's
yeah,
a good
you know,
idea.
Someone that thought they'd be an independent filmmaker and then reality
set in. I don't need
anything
good. I just need a couple of you know main lights, key light, and you know just something to make it look nice. Cause I remember that one time you and I did a video at our work where remember it was like a half hour long and we interviewed people about mm-hmm. why they liked that organ. Some of the look on that film, it just looked great. We filmed kind of at dusk and lit people up and it looked great. And that's kind of a look I want to get for here. I don't want just that flat I'm filming kind of look. I want to have something nicer.
You mean the BBC look?
Oh yeah. Yeah, exactly. I want to have the BBC look. Wow. It's amazing how they've, and clearly they got down to a science, they can do it on the fly, but yeah, I want one of these things, so.
Well, that's anyway. Cool.
Yep. Anyway, that's it.
I don't think there's really anything else going on. There's a couple movies coming up.
Like that, what?
And then Ocean's 13.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I don't know.
Transformers.
Transformers, I'm excited
there
about.
There was one or two more that were,
isn't there some other sequel, big tentpole ones? Oh, God, Shrek 3 came out.
There's that one. We didn't discuss, you know, I have no interest in seeing it before DVD.
I have no interest in seeing it whatsoever. I haven't read the reviews on it.
The reviews, I haven't read anything horribly negative, but they're all just not very inventive, not terribly funny.
Yeah, it's workmanlike. They're saying it's, as opposed to being inventive, they're just focusing on pratfalls and, anyway.
Yeah, so
I have
no interest in seeing that. No, the other big one is Pirates of the Caribbean at World's End.
So you hated that last one. Except for the parts I fell asleep through, I love the last one.
I just kind
one.
Of internalized Wells's loathing of it. I don't know why, but I think the tagline, they really just need to change the marketing campaign.
What's the tagline?
Well, they don't really have a tagline, but they're, you know, it's Pirates. And then they show you the thing. It should be Pirates, don't pretend you're not going to see it. Or Pirates, we own your ass. We know you're going to see it. Or Pirates, resistance is futile. They should do something like that where they're winking at, yes, we know that it's this blockbuster and we've spent a ton of money on it and people think it's empty, but you're still going to see it, aren't you? Yeah, you are. We own your ass.
Oh, man.
How funny would that be? Pirates, we own your ass. Don't pretend.
There's
I don't
know. The, you know, that last one, that Bill Nighy character, the tentacle guy, Davy Jones, was so inventive, so well done. And
I totally agree.
Looking forward to more of that. But I agree so much it was stupid, and I don't know. I still want to see it.
Yeah. I think regardless of whether or not I want to see it, I think my wife wants to see it.
What is it? There's some movie coming out, and it's a semi-animated movie with characters, but they're filming using the motion capture.
Beowulf?
No, not Beowulf. I'm definitely interested in that, but it's the same thing, and Steven Spielberg's involved, and who else is it? Oh, I'm just trying to blank. I'll have to think about it, but it seemed like an intriguing project because they wanted to bring this world out there, and this motion capture is definitely the way to do it. Zemeckis is clearly the leader in all this. After doing all of this stuff, it's pretty clear the motion capture is the way that most of these animate, or a lot of them, unless you're in the Pixar world, are going to be done because it's cheaper, more effective, and you can get better visuals and better performances. I don't know if you ever saw, I told you about that making of that Monster House and how the director literally afterwards, he could go in and, yeah, move this camera here, move there. And he could, like, they had the performances, but he could, like, stage him how they wanted him. It was really inventive. It was like he was actually a director as opposed to just overseeing a project. It was interesting. Anyway, cool. It is now 1 minute, 1 hour, 9 minutes. We should probably wrap up.
Yeah.
What are those magazines you're reading?
It's the previews catalog.
What the hell's the previews catalog?
This is what you order comic books from.
Oh.
It's in advance. It's 3 months in advance is how comics are ordered. So it's this.
Damn, it's huge.
It's put out by the distributor Diamond. And it's somewhat interesting in that there used to be multiple comics distributors. If you were a comic book store, you had multiple sources you could get your comics from. The Diamond, which has been around for a while and was the biggest, there was one called, I think it was Capital. Maybe it was Heroes World. I'm totally spacing on what the second banana was. And then there might have been a few smaller ones. The few smaller ones went away, so then there were two. And then Marvel Comics bought the second one. And they said, if you want Marvel Comics, they are now exclusively available from our distributor. We're not selling Marvel Comics through Diamond anymore. Jeez. Forcing retailers to deal with them.
Yep. Wow.
And that experiment lasted, I think, about a year before it failed.
Huh.
So now Diamond is back to doing everything, but they're now the only distributor. If you want comic books, that's it. You got to go through Diamond.
I was hearing this thing this past weekend. It was they were talking about the, it was on Howard Stern and the drummer for System of a Down had sent them a couple comics because he knew that Robin and Howard are into him. And they were mentioning that he owns 10 million comics. And he's actually going to start advertising the show because he's starting to basically sell his collection.
I need to sell mine.
And other stuff. And he's going to be doing it in a very specific way, but pretty much he has clearly one of the largest collections on the planet. Since he started making money with System of a Down, he's poured the entire thing into collecting comics.
Funny.
Can you imagine having millions? It's either 2 or 10 million. Either way, it's an astronomical number. But every single thing there, and he's going to slowly start cashing in his investment, I guess you could say.
Yeah.
Although I can't imagine, given the way he is, I can't imagine him actually making that much money. It'll just be more of, now it's become a money churner.
But, yeah, it's unlikely.
But where do you store 2 million? I mean, how much space would that take? That would be 10,000 square feet.
I don't know. Got a warehouse somewhere.
How many do you figure you have?
You know, I honestly don't know.
Where do you store them all?
Just picture like a banquet table that's not quite that long, maybe 6 foot long banquet table.
Yep.
I've got long boxes and short boxes. I mean, a long box is, I don't know, 3 feet long.
Yeah.
Short box is half of that. That essentially goes on the floor and on top of the table and takes up the whole thing. So that's, I don't even really know how many boxes that is. And one of my extra bedrooms is considered a library. I've got like 4 or 5 bookcases in there and the comics.
So maybe 5, 6, 7,000?
I honestly don't know the quantity. I have an inventory on an Excel spreadsheet, but I didn't do it like check marks. I can't. I'd have to go through, because the way I did it would be like X-Men, and then I'd have another cell where it says 1 through 110.
Hasn't anybody set up a thing like that Apple program, or like with DVDs?
Last time I looked. There are programs out there. Most of them are Windows only, which was the problem. The other ones I saw, the people who just written themselves, were basically fancy Excel spreadsheets.
So they're cruddy.
Oh, maybe not, but it's like, you know what? If all I'm getting out of this is an Excel spreadsheet, I can do that myself. Well, maybe it's not as robust, or because the Excel is an incredibly powerful
tool, where you can do it and it can automatically download artwork, descriptions, and you can automatically share it so other people can see what you have. I mean, that's the key.
The last
to
time
me.
I checked, I could not find something like that for the Mac that I wanted. So, anyway.
Well,
we're definitely running this into the ground. So hopefully we're back on a regular schedule. But depending on my house crap, who knows?
Although the big thing, I mean, I just got to sit down and figure out Skype and how to record it.
That needs to happen too, because once I move,
I know it's going to be tougher. So I'll look into that and we'll figure out how to do that. I mean, everybody does it. It can't be that tough. But last time I looked, they made it out like it was like the most complicated thing on the planet. So
we'll figure it out.
Yep.
All right. You guys rock. At mustardayonnaise.com is how you contact us. I'm Matt.
I'm Richard.
Thank you for listening.
Adios.